This is the Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business podcast, where life and business intersect. Hosted by Jennifer Glass, CEO of Business Growth Strategies International and BGSI Coaching. We are dedicated to your success. Hello and welcome to another episode of Mojo, the Meaning of Life and Business. On our show today, we are going to be talking about buying time. That can look in so many different ways. We know that time is the only commodity that we cannot get any more of. And so when it comes down to what we need to be looking at and how we talk about time and how we think about time, it becomes really important for us to be taking a closer look in terms of what we're doing. And no, Seth Meyers, I'm not stealing your trademark. In terms, though, of looking at our time and how we go from there, we are really focused also on your time. And so rather than me telling you any more before we get into the conversation, let me introduce my guest to you first, though. Heidi McNulty is a widowed mother of three boys with a $15 million rental portfolio. She has started and still owns several companies. She had a successful exit in April of 2022 when she sold one of her companies for seven figures. In May of 2022, she was requested to be on a new series as a business mentor for the contestants of America's Real Deal. Full disclosure, I'm on the production staff of the show as well. Heidi, rather than me reading the rest of your bio, let me ask you, please tell us more about who you are.
Yeah.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I am an entrepreneur at heart and definitely enjoy being a mother. The part that you didn't get to in my bio is that I got married very young. We had three boys and my husband killed himself in June 27th of 2022. And so that was really traumatic. I had just retired and sold one of my businesses and planned to just take it easy for a while. And, you know, the saying that when you think you have your life figured out, God laughs. And my life was flipped upside down. And I had already started writing the book, Buying Time. And I've always really been interested in helping people with financial literacy, specifically teenagers and college age kids, because at that point they don't have, you know, mortgages and car payments already. And it's a little easier to start on the right foot than it is to get back on the right foot. But I put my book on hold and really realized how much I had bought time in healing, in managing my finances the way I had for so long, that it had allowed me to take the time to heal and do nothing but focus on healing, focus on my kids, go to counseling, do all the things that we needed to do to get back to a healthy mindset after losing my husband. And so I changed the book to include mental health and mindset strategies as well, because I think that, you know, life isn't just about being rich. It isn't just about finances. It's about being very fulfilled all around, fulfilled in business, fulfilled at home, fulfilled with who you are as a person. And so the book is really about how to reach wealth and fulfillment and be all around in a great place in your life.
Absolutely. And thank you. And once again, I'm really sorry about your husband.
Thank you.
So let's talk about mental health for a moment and why you kind of alluded to it in what you were just saying, but why is mental health even more important as business owners? Not that it's irrelevant for everyone else, but why is it even more important as a business owner, and especially in the wake of exiting a business or things along those lines?
Yeah, I think that, you know, even in selling businesses, there's a lot of mental things that go on there. You know, you build these companies, they're your babies, they're your life, and then you sell them. And that week that I sold it, I was a wreck. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm walking away from something that I spent like so much time and so much effort into. But that's all part of, the plan really is to build companies and sell them so that you can live life and not work your life away. And so I think that mental health is by far the most important thing in life. And you can be very happy and have very little if you have the right mindset. And I actually use that quite a bit. So kind of side note, when my husband passed away is the day that interest rates were raised in real estate. And I'm not sure how involved in real estate you are, but I'm pretty heavily involved in real estate. Even the day that my husband died, I had 12 properties either under construction or on the market. And when the interest rates changed, I lost a lot of money on those properties because they wouldn't sell for what they were going to sell for. And the market in Utah really took a hit. I know some other states have not taken quite as big of a hit, but Utah had grown really fast in the last 3 years, and it dropped pretty hard in the last 18 months. And so, with that, I had lost a lot of the money that I had planned to have and retire on with my husband and my kids. And so, not only did I lose my husband, I also lost in the last 18 months, I've lost $2 million. And so I've really had to rely on having a healthy mindset and focusing on gratitude so that I'm not just going down this mindset of loss and lack and what I don't, and focusing on what I don't have, and I'm focusing on what I do still have and what I can still be grateful for. And sounds silly, but like there were days real shortly after my husband passed away that I literally told myself, like, there's kids in Africa with no shoes and no family. Like, it could be worse. I have a lot to be grateful for. I have family. I have, a rental portfolio that I've built up. I have amazing kids. And so I really had to focus on gratitude. And I was often doing a list of 10 things to be grateful for just to keep my mind in the right space.
Absolutely. And it's really important in terms of the mindset to just be constantly thinking. And again, we know that one thing begets the other. If you're thinking negatively, you're drawing the negative energy in the universe to you. If you're thinking positively, you're drawing that towards you. And the brain
100%.
can't be thinking differently in that regard. So, and thank you for helping draw that out. So let me ask you, obviously going through, and you said that you lost $2 million in the last 18 months. I mean, that's a huge hit for a lot of people. How did you come to terms with losing $18 million?
Two
Sorry,
million.
2 million.
I was like, not 18, but no, I think at the end of the day, I think there's things that I can control and things that I can't control. I can control my spending. I can control, what I purchase real estate at and what I put into real estate. I can't completely control how much it sells for. And I think I really just focused on the things I can control and tried to do my best in those areas and then kind of let go and let God, and whatever's supposed to happen will happen, and trust that if it doesn't work out the way I planned, that there's a lesson that I'm supposed to learn from this process. And I really try and focus on what those lessons are so that I learn them the first time and I don't have to experience them several times to finally learn a lesson. I feel like, it's a lot of people say this, but I either win or I learn. And I've learned a lot in the last 18 months. But I think that with that, I have become such a better person and such a brighter beacon of light for those around me because I'm able to focus on the positive, focus on what I want to happen and work towards it and take action, but also realize that I don't have control over everything. I think that as an entrepreneur, you really have to have that mindset for your business to do as well as it can. Because if you're trying to control everything, you're putting too much fear and pressure on the people around you instead of allowing them to embrace their light and do the best that they can and create a positive, healthy environment for them to flourish. And in turn, your business will flourish.
Absolutely. So let me take that and bring in America's Real Deal. And being a mentor on the show, they're helping people realize the same ideas. Obviously, when we're talking with businesses that are looking at raising funds, it becomes even more important for them to be open to that idea of what can I control? What can't I control? Mm-hmm. Is the public or are investors going to want to invest in me? What can I control to make them want to invest in me more? So help us walk through that idea. How do we start talking to these business owners, whether they're coming on the show, they're going to something like Shark Tank, or they're just going the traditional route or even Kickstarter campaigns, whatever it may be, outside of the show? How do we talk to those people?
You mean as consumers or as mentors?
Let's look at it from the position that we're coming out of as being a mentor to them.
Yeah, so when I was a mentor on the show, I really worked with them to understand what they were selling. I think a lot of people get stuck in the contraption or the service that they sell, and they're very passionate about the service or the item that they've invented. But if they don't sell the experience, if they don't sell what the consumer is going to experience by working with them or purchasing their product, then they're missing the key point to getting that emotional attachment that they already have. And so I worked with them a lot on understanding that what they were really selling. I think one example is there's the Wildflower Girls Ranch that I helped on season one. And they are a girls ranch for girls that are struggling with mental health, teens. And I think that it was with them, it was really exciting for me to work with them because I could help them understand that they were selling hope. These were girls that were hopeless, they were suicidal, they were in rough situations. Their parents wanted to do everything they could to help, but couldn't help. And so, you know, kind of selling that hope and that light in their future, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel was really important for them to understand to sell just not only as a resource, but as the option to get to where you're trying to go.
Absolutely. And that's the key thing. It's the idea of what is the after effect of what it is that we do. As a business coach, I'm constantly asking my clients, what is the after effect of using you for whatever it is?
Yeah.
And I've given so many different examples of how we can look at that. I mean, even as, you know, a landscaper, as an example, and I'm going to just throw this out for anyone who's listening to illustrate this point. A landscaper is not only a landscaper in the sense that they're cutting your grass, it is they're freeing up your weekend so mm-hmm. you can do other stuff instead of doing the lawn. You can have a handyman who can also help you be the king or queen of your castle instead of having to work your land, work your home, or whatever it may be. I mean, we all know those honey-do lists that can get really long. And can you get your weekend back, or can you, or do you have to do everything else? And that's really important just in terms of that idea. So it isn't just like the ranch and hope and things like that. We can really be making that difference.
Yeah, when you mentioned the landscaper, it kind of reminded me of a section in my book, Buying Time, that it's also important to understand how much you can make per hour and how much you can pay someone to do the same thing, and never do the thing that you can pay someone less to do. For example, on my first flip, I lost $52,000 because we were the painters, we were the, you know, the cleaners, we were the stagers, we did everything. And in turn, we missed work where we could have made twice as much while someone else who specializes in those things can do those items at for less and in less time and save you more money, so that in the long run you're making more instead of tripping over a dime to pick up a penny. And so I think, you know, when it comes to landscapers and things like that, like, we've got to consider what could that time be spent doing, and we can either make more money or have more fulfillment and still accomplish what we're trying to accomplish by hiring some of those skills out.
Absolutely. And that is such an important point. And one of the other things that I draw out with people that I speak with, and I got this from one of my coaches, is the idea of the 521 prism. And I'm going to quickly illustrate that for everyone who's listening. Think about it in this position. Everyone that is in business says they want to make $1 million. Heidi, maybe you're a little bit more than that at this point, but for starting out entrepreneurs.
I definitely started there. That was my dream when I was little, so I get it.
Absolutely. So as starting entrepreneurs anyway, we say we want to make $1 million. And what we need to think about is, what exactly does that mean? Forget the abstract idea of $1 million, because maybe you want only really 500,000, it's 5 million, whatever that number may be. But using that $1 million as an idea, we need to look at it in this way. If you work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 48 weeks a year, how much do you need to make per hour to make $1 million over the course of the year? The answer is $521 an hour. And that'll give you a little over $1 million for the year. Mm-hmm. What that means is that you need to also value your hour at $521. That's not to say that every single hour you have to be making $521, because you can easily make a $150,000 sale. And just a couple of those will give you your $1 million. But if you value your hour at $521, that means, like Heidi was saying, if there's something that somebody can do for $20 an hour, don't do it if you can be making $521. Because having meetings, like as an example, Heidi and I right now, even just recording this podcast, can be worth $521 for either of us. It's creating a relationship, deepening a relationship, whatever it may be that is out there. So there's ways that you can be looking at that to be helping in what you're doing and really be making that difference, so that you can be standing out there and be getting even more value. So taking a really hard turn now and looking at buying time. And obviously time is one of those important things. We just mentioned also the value of time. But I want to talk with you, Heidi, about your book and about buying time as the book. And you mentioned a couple of times different pieces of the book. But can you give us more of an idea on what the book is, who it's really for, so that we have more of an idea in that regard?
Yeah. So the book is really a young person's guide to wealth and fulfillment. That's kind of the caveat to it. It is definitely, it has a lot of business strategies, a lot of budgeting and financial literacy strategies. And then it also goes into your value system and how you look at life and what things really make you glow as a person. And then making sure that those things are in and intertwined in your day. One of the things, like you mentioned, we can't get more time. We also don't get time back. I worked a lot. I was working over 100 hours a week for probably 16 years. And with that, I missed out on a lot of time, quality time with my husband, quality time with my kids. And I really just was driven financially to make as much as I could. And with that, I worked as much as I could. I built as many businesses as I could and really lost focus of what I was doing that for. And so in my book, it talks about really documenting what's important to you. What are your top three things that are important to you? And how do you allocate your time based on those three things instead of losing balance and hyper focusing on one area and then, you know, being out of whack on the other two? I think for me, I really wanted to provide for my family. I wanted my kids to have a good life, but I lost sight of the fact that having a good life means spending quality time, enjoying your life, and doing fun things together. And those things, you know, I was really strict with our budget, but those things didn't even have to cost money. One of my favorite things to do with my kids now, and we do it on a fairly regular basis, is we play charades. And it's an app on the phone, it's free. And we play charades and we're laughing and giggling and having so much fun. And it takes 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes, however long you decide to play. But it's a good, you know, a good few minutes of laughter and quality time that you remember. Another thing that so I'm remarried now. I just got remarried. I should tell you about that. Well, actually, I'll tell you about that. So I met my now husband about a year ago, and we got married at about our 6 month anniversary in the Crown, which is the top of the castle in Scotland. As you know, I had already had a wedding, so he was like, "Do you want to get married in like a big setting?" And I was like, "No, just, you know, we'll just do the two of us on a beach." And he's like, "Well, everyone gets married on a beach." He's like, "How many queens do you know that got married in a castle?" And I was like, "None." So we went to Scotland, and he's a direct descendant of William Wallace from Braveheart. And so we got married in the William Wallace Memorial Castle in Scotland. So that was really cool. But what I was getting at with that is, one of the things that we do now that I learned in hindsight from not spending as much quality time with my husband as I wish I would have. Obviously, we still had quality time. We still took one-on-one trips, but I feel like we could have done more on a regular basis. So my husband and I usually take a bath once or twice a night together, and there's conversation cards, and they literally are just questions that you ask each other, and it just creates really vulnerable, open, intimate conversations about how you're feeling, where are you at, what do you feel is great in our life, what would you change if you could change one thing about our life, and creating those conversations so that you have these really deep conversations on a regular basis, and that quality time is just there. It's built into our week.
And I love that idea of the conversation cards. Really good idea. I mean, one of the things for me with my kids, and when they ask me, "What do you want?" I always said, "I want to create a memory."
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it can be, like you said, something that costs money, something that doesn't cost money.
Mm-hmm.
Creating that memory, that's the thing that's going to last. I mean, you can get flowers, you can get, you know, candy, you can get whatever, but that's not necessarily going to last forever. A memory does.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that it's like, how do you connect it all? How do you make it really stand out? How do you just have that life, like you were saying, in terms of those pieces? So if we look at now what you and your husband though are doing, and I want to bring it back to this for a moment. You guys are focused on the mental health and preventing suicide.
Yes.
Tell us more about that though, please.
Yeah, so my husband's been in the mental health industry for about 14 years now, and I was just getting into it when we met. And that's one of the things that I obviously loved about him, is that he's so passionate about helping other people, specifically youth, in understanding, you know, their feelings and understanding that it's normal and that, you know, lots of people feel that way at one point or another, but that it also is temporary and that your feelings and your life changes, and helping them understand what we can control, what we can't control, and doing the best that we can with the things that we can control and taking action to create positive change in our lives. And so we have a company called The Village Effect, and it provides resources, life coaching, counseling. It's tied to our gym facility. We have a MMA gym that does like boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, all of the MMA mixed martial arts in one facility. And then we also do fitness classes. So we try to get kids to really implement healthy choices all around. We work with them with their mind, body, and soul. And not just, you know, not just being really athletic, but being really unhappy, or being really intelligent, but being really, you know, physically unwell. And then it affects you mentally as well. So we really try to work with kids all around in having healthy behaviors and healthy habits. And then also acknowledging and understanding who they're surrounding themselves with and how that affects them emotionally.
Do you get involved in the social media aspect as well with youth? How negative social media can be, or how it can be used positively?
Yeah, my husband's a huge advocate of that. So like with my kids, we've reduced their social, well, they're not on social media. They are on Snapchat, which I hate. But my kids are only allowed to be on electronics in general for 2 hours, only 2 days a week. So we're pretty strict with screen time and electronics and social media, because just what you said, it's just got such a negative, you know, impact on kids and adults, really. You know, we all strive to look perfect and be perfect and all these things instead of sharing our imperfections and loving what's there, and the innate value that we have instead of what we bring to the world.
Absolutely. And it's really important just to keep that in mind. What are we bringing, and how do we realize that not everything is perfect? I mean, that was one of the things, if you, not to go back to an old problem, but it's not really so old. If you look at any of the magazines, and how they used to airbrush the women to look so perfectly that if there was an ounce of fat on her, it was taken away. And so all of us were taught, you got to be a size zero, and not even a size zero, because that may have been too big. And obviously not everyone is. And I'm going to call out Dove as one of those companies that are really trying to do a lot of good.
Yeah, I saw that on the Super Bowl commercial. I loved that commercial.
That was an excellent commercial. For those of you that may have missed it, really quickly, it was that a lot of girls stop sports at the age of 14. And because of self-conscious issues or anything else that may have been there. And Dove is out there with a campaign to help young girls really get back into sports. And by the way, Dove, if you'd like us to be a sponsor, reach out. But anyway, so it's really important, though, that we have that positive body image, positive mental health, and all of that that comes along with the idea of what it is that we need to be doing. So as we look at where you are, where the book is, and all of these pieces, if I can ask you, just in summing it up, how do we connect the dots?
I think connecting the dots is really understanding that all of the dots are already connected. How much we move our body, how much stress we have financially, where we put our values, where we put our time, it's all interconnected to how happy we are in general. And when we change those things and make better choices, more educated choices, towards the goals that we want, and we delay that gratification. Maybe we really want a cupcake, but we don't eat the cupcake because it doesn't fit with our long-term goals and who we want to be. Then we really can change our lives in positive ways if we can stay focused on our end goal, but by first identifying our end goal. I think a lot of people, you know, work really hard, but they don't really have a set savings goal, or they don't really have a set budget to know what they're looking for in the end. And it's kind of like a map. If you're, you know, if you don't put in an end destination on a map, you're just driving around. You don't know where you're going. You're, you know, you might be driving really good and you might be in a really cool car, but you're not going to get anywhere. And so it's important for us to first identify where we, who we want to be, where we want to be, what makes us happy, what speaks to us, and then set into place action items from there to reach those goals.
Thank you. So let's talk about the book again. How do we get our hands on a copy of the book?
Yeah, thank you. So the book will be on Amazon. Again, it's called Buying Time by Heidi McNulty. And it will be launched on March 14th, so just in a few days. And it's there's also a workbook with it, which that's another part that I was really excited about, was I created a workbook and end of chapter exercises so that people can actually implement the things that are taught in this book so that they can make some positive changes both in their value systems, their life, their happiness, and their financial literacy and where they're at financially, you know, create a budget and work towards that budget.
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, look at Amazon for Buying Time by Heidi McNulty, because it's going to be a great read for you and helping you figure all of those pieces out. And I love also, by the way, the idea of the action items, as I call it, at the end of each of my chapters in my books. I put them in there just to help everyone draw out, here's the things that you can start thinking about, because it's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. So I think when you put some action behind it, that's when the change really comes.
Absolutely. One of my coaches told me it's not informative, it's transformative in the book. And so you got to make sure that they're actually taking action and transforming, because if it's just informational, like a textbook, a lot of us, I don't know about you, Heidi, but I know personally for me in school, I hated reading the textbook.
Yeah.
I had one friend who actually read it for fun, and that was the weird friend. But we all have one of those, at least one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Definitely. I agree. And I think it'll be great, though.
It will be, yes. So, Heidi, how else can people connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's just at Heidi McNulty. And then on Facebook, I'm Heidi McNulty as well. And I'd love to hear thoughts on the book or anything that I can help with to help kind of round out the full circle and the full fulfillment of life.
Thank you. And I'm just curious with dropping the book on March 14th. Was it Pi Day? What was it that made you decide on that?
No, I had a couple options based on where we were at when we completed the book. And I just picked March 14th.
It's a great day. Albert Einstein's birthday. So,
oh,
you know,
I didn't
share
know
the
that.
Brilliance and go from there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that.
Yes. So, Heidi, again, thank you so much for being my guest on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so as we wrap up our conversation, it's really important just to remember, first of all, mental health is really, really important. We need to keep that in mind as we're doing anything in our personal lives, in our business lives. If we start letting certain things really get at us and we don't have that outlet to get it out of us, our bodies become not at ease. And that is where disease comes from, because we are not at ease. And we know that stress, we know that other issues that we're dealing with can all contribute. And sometimes, unfortunately, it may go down an even darker path, as unfortunately Heidi is well aware, and as you heard while we were speaking. But it becomes really important for us just to keep that in mind. How do we look at that? How do we pay attention to the value of our time and buying time, understanding that we can't get any more of it back? The idea that a millionaire asks how much time it's going to take as opposed to how much it's going to cost. Not that they don't necessarily care about how much some things are going to cost, but they're more concerned, like we were saying during the conversation, it's really more important how much time can we use our time better to do certain things, as opposed to looking at it differently. And so if you take that away from this episode, keep that in mind. Look at how you're going to be making that difference and look on Amazon again in a couple of days for Buying Time by Heidi McNulty. And you're going to be really grateful that you took advantage of that book and the special offers that are going to be offered when it first launches
Yeah, the
to
first
help you
three
get.
days it'll be really affordable. So definitely get it between March 14th and March 17th.
Absolutely. Thank you. And again, reach out, connect with Heidi, make sure you get the book, let her know what you think. And on that note, this has been another episode of Mojo, The Meaning of Life and Business. Once again, Heidi, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
Until next time, here's to your success.
This has been another episode of Mojo, The Meaning of Life and Business podcast. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving us a review, liking us, or reaching out to us. You can contact us at bgsicoaching.com and let us know what you think. Thanks so much again for listening.